Hey, this is Martin Zender from the Car Cam. Isn't it great to know that it still works? On this edition of the Saturday Insider. Now, before I talk about the remnant of Israel, an important topic, because this is what's happening on the earth today. This is what's happening spiritually on the earth today. We, some of us, may be quite interested in what is happening politically, what is happening socially, what is happening in the entertainment world, really. But what is important is what is happening in the spiritual world. And I need to remind myself this every day, because these other worlds scream at us, even our family world. We do need to take care of certain things, but always keeping in mind that we have an expectation that is out of this world, literally. And it is on the door, it's coming. And so, as I've always told you, we need to hold loosely to things. We need to love the ones we're with, but we need to hold loosely to them. We need to work hard at our jobs, but we need to hold loosely to them. Everybody needs money to survive, but we must hold loosely to these things. Now, I had a thought today, a mere 2 hours ago, and I have to tell you about this. You remember when Jesus told the disciples, when he was predicting his death, and he told them, "Where I'm going, you cannot now go. But where I'm going, I will prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also." This is Jesus is known as the forerunner. Now, I'm talking about specifically the Israel gospel now, but I'm going to apply it to Paul's gospel here. And I'm going to use this to give you comfort concerning those who have a hold on you today, those who push you away, those who think you're crazy, those who don't understand your call. You are suffering at the hands of the Jews and of the nations. That is, you're suffering from religious people, you're suffering from worldly people, just like Joseph did. He suffered from religious people, his own brothers, and he suffered from worldly people, the Egyptians, namely Potiphar's wife, who framed him, and he went to prison. But the story of Joseph has a happy ending, and this is our ending as well. The happy ending is that he rises to become great, and his brothers come to him, and who knows, Potiphar's wife may even have come crawling back, because he was second in command in Egypt. This is our destiny. This is our future. Things may look bad for you now. You may be on two rungs below everybody else, or seem to be right now, but the day is coming and is drawing nigh when you will be the head of all. You will be second in command in Egypt. In other words, but take that to the next level. You will be second in command with Christ, beneath only God. How's that? Yes, 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 yes. You will be quite popular then. The people who thought you were nuts, the people who dismissed you, the people who didn't want you in their life, suddenly, well, you will be very popular in that day, and you will be the distributor of grace and peace. Joseph distributed food. You will distribute grace, peace, and love. It will be wonderful. And I'm looking forward to it. So Jesus said, "Where I go, that you may be." So he's the forerunner. He goes ahead of time. So right now, we are being prepared to take care of all these people who are thorns in our sides now, who don't like us that much now, who cause us pain now. We are being prepared. Like, we are going on. I'll never forget this. You've heard me mention Ray Prinzing before, the circumcision teacher, but I learned a lot from this guy. He helped me understand the salvation of all. This was in the early 80s. I would listen to tapes from this guy, and he would compare himself to a raging river. And he says, this raging river is going to the ocean. The analogy was his life, his spirit-filled life, was heading to God. And he said, now, on a raging river, it's not much practical good. You can't put a ship on it. It doesn't transport goods to other ports. But once it gets to the ocean, then it can bear the greatest of seafaring vessels. So this is us. I always took that to myself, and I remember it today, 40 years later. We are going toward God, and we are a torrent. We are a rushing current of water heading toward God. It's all we care about, and it's not pretty. I mean, when the water is heading toward, all water heads toward the ocean, towards the sea, which is at sea level. See, water heads toward, goes downhill, but we're going uphill. Anyway, it's, yeah, divine alchemy, divine gravity, reverse gravity. We are heading toward God at a rapid rate, but there's white water on us. There's white water. We're in a froth. And you don't, it doesn't seem like we're any practical good sometimes. You know, I mean, look at me. I live in a laundry room. You know, I don't have a job that is respected in this life. I'm not a doctor, or a lawyer, or a dentist, or a psychologist, or a... I don't drive a Coca-Cola truck. That's the ultimate. I'm telling you, you drive a Coca-Cola truck, the world will be the path to your door. No, I don't do any of these things. My business card says, I suffer evil with the evangel. Oh, that's real attractive. You suffer evil with the evangel? Can I hang out with you, Martin? Can I hang out with you in your laundry room? That's all right. That's all right. It's tough. It is tough. But I'm heading like a torrent toward the ocean, which is God. I'm the forerunner, just like, and you are too, just like Jesus Christ was the forerunner for his disciples. They didn't have to get crucified. They didn't have to get beaten. They didn't have to be humiliated, suffer for the sins of the world. But he said, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead for your sakes. I'm doing this for you. And he's going to perfect many sons, both of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. They come into an earthly kingdom where the nations will beat a path to their door. We come into a celestial kingdom where, at the great white throne, the dead, the small and the great will rise. Just as Joseph's brothers rose from the figurative dead, came to Egypt because they were dying, literally. They had no food. They were dying, literally. They had no food. The people in your life now who are flying high, who think they have everything they need. What's that passage in the Old Testament? Leaning on humanity is like leaning on a staff or something. It just goes through your hand. It just, they're leaning on treasures that they have built up on this earth. And these are things that the moth eats and that the rust destroys. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasure that cannot be stolen, that cannot rust, that the moths cannot eat, that does not decay. And that's what we're doing. But because we're doing that, we're oddballs. Because we're doing that, we seem to be no earthly good. But we are doing it not only for our own sakes, but we're doing it for the sake of the people who are now looking at us and making fun of us, or disparaging us, or counting us as nothing, counting us as the dregs of society, the scum of the pond, as Paul says, the offscouring of all things. Paul called himself that. Paul, the administrator of the secrets of God, called himself the offscouring of all things. That is what's left over after you wash the dishes. All that crap in that little catched metal catch thing after you wash it. This is, that's us. That's how the world looks at us now. But we have a goal and we have a purpose. And our eyes are fixed like the eyes of Jesus Christ. He said he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. There he was. And as he's setting his face like flint, he did not look to the left or to the right. He was single-minded. And he's going toward a very unpleasant thing. What's he going toward? The cross. But he knows that he's going to go through the veil of death. He's going to be dead for 3 days and he's going to rise. And his resurrection is going to mean the salvation of the world. And everybody's going to thank him. All those people who said, what is that guy so serious about? Because there he is, setting his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. And people are probably over to the right, to the left of him, thinking, what? That guy is depressed. That guy is not much fun. That guy is taking things too seriously. That guy doesn't even have a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What's the matter with that guy? He must have a demon. Don't people think that of you? But your face is set like flint. Here's the advantage we have. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I would not want to be crucified, period. But I would definitely not want to be crucified for the sins of the world. No. So he had his face set like flint for that. What is our face set like flint for? The snatching away. The change of our bodies. The change of our minds into the mind of Christ. And so, believe me, people, I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you. I need this more than you do. Probably. Maybe you need it more than I do. Anyway, Jesus is setting his face for Golgotha, for Calvary. We're setting our face toward the most happy, wonderful, easy thing that could ever happen to a human being. That is being transformed in an instant from a mortal body to an immortal body. And it could happen any day now, seriously. So Jesus says, I go and make ready a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. Okay, so now, Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he suffered not only to bring the disciples to where he was someday, when they raise from the dead and enter into the kingdom, when he comes to the Mount of Olives, enters into Jerusalem, but he also went through the veil of death, conquered death, dead 3 days, did not exist for 3 days, raised from the dead, and now he becomes the door for all humanity and for, in fact, all beings in the entire universe to come into the peace and the grace of God. Now, us, we are going to also bring others into the fold, of the love of God. But before we do that, we have to be perfected. This is how God always does it. He takes a spearhead group. Spearhead. This. Like Israel was a spearhead group. He perfects them. He works on them. They get all the trouble. They get all the trial. They get all the hassle. He's working on them. And then when they're finally perfected, he uses them to bless the rest of the nations. Likewise, the body of Christ. We also are a spearhead group. And we are going through the shit right now. And I don't mean that in the popular sense, like, yeah, it's the shit. No. I mean it in the good old-fashioned sense of, like, cow manure. Right? So we're going through that now, and the rest of the world looks at us like we're stupid, or we're just lazy. Why aren't you people more excited about the world? It's a wonderful place. Be thankful. Be rejoicing. Well, we're rejoicing, but we're rejoicing way, way down inside. Honey, give me love way down inside. Jesus Christ, when his face was set like flint to go to Jerusalem, he was also rejoicing. But he was rejoicing way, 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 way down deep inside, thinking of what his work would mean, what his work would mean. His work, while he was working it, was unnoticed. I have this problem, not with you. Thank God I have those of you who are watching this show, those of you who read my newsletter, I get some satisfaction. Thank God you write me and you tell me how your article is great. Your video was great. Loved it. You really helped me. Thanks. Your work changed my life. I need that. I love it. Really, I probably have an advantage over a lot of you in that way, because you don't have that. You don't have that. Maybe you send something out, you share a video, you share a book with somebody, and people write you off. So Jesus, facing that crucifixion, was joyful. Actually, he was joyful inside, but the outside was not good. Not good. The outside is not good. And that's what shows, you know. So sometimes we look like a bunch of bumps. Bunch of bumps on a log. Bunch of white water heading toward the ocean. But once we get there, All the people who mocked us on our way are going to be damn glad that we had the presence of mind to ignore the attractions, the Disney worlds of this world, the enticements, the seductions. They're going to be damn glad that we were such pains in the ass, because once we get to where we're going, we, in the footsteps of Christ, have forged a path. Joseph forged a path to plenty in Egypt. He was the Sir Edmund Hillary of Egypt. Sir Edmund Hillary, the first man to forge a route to the top of Mount Everest. It was just a tad easier for everybody else after that. Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon. The first person everywhere. Jesus Christ, the first one to be crucified for the sins of the world. But we're right behind him. And the effect of our perfection is going to be as astounding as the effect of his work, of his perfection on the cross. It's going to be just as astounding. Because like Joseph's brothers who came to Joseph in Egypt and said, oh, thank God you came here. Oh, my God. We were so totally lost. Like we were, this is what Joseph's brothers are going to say to him. Man, we had it all wrong. Our priorities were all screwed up. We were after our fathers. We were after our father's approval. And we were so jealous of you. Our world was so constrained, so small, so petty, so selfish, that we would rather kill you than be less in our father's eyes. Damn, that's so small and so narrow. But when they finally come to Egypt, 27 years later, yeah, that's how long Joseph put up with that crap. 27 years. All of a sudden, they are incredibly thankful for what he did. Incredibly grateful. Even though he didn't enter into it voluntarily, Joseph didn't, did he? No, he didn't enter into it voluntarily. He didn't decide to go to Egypt at the hands of slave traders and to be sold into Potiphar's house. None of that. We also have been apprehended by Christ. We did not volunteer for this. We were apprehended, like Joseph was. And as Jesus said to Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and did what you wanted to, but when you have become decrepit, other people will gird you and take you where you would not. We are being taken, it seems, where we would not. We would never sign up for this. But Peter, when he raises from the dead, is going to be chief apostle on a regenerated earth, and the nations will flow into Jerusalem and honor that man. Because he left his livelihood. He left the Sea of Galilee to follow Jesus. And he felt it. Don't you think he felt it? He said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What's in it for us? Legit question. Jesus did not slam him down for that question. No slap down for Peter. No, Jesus said, to you who have followed me in the renaissance, in the rebirth of the earth, you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the nations will flow into Jerusalem, just as the brothers of Joseph and his father flowed into Egypt. And just as when we are perfected, those who thought we were nuts, those who wondered why they played the flute and we didn't dance, they poured the drink, we didn't drink, they did the party, we didn't party, what's the matter with you people? They're going to be so glad that we stayed the course, that we kept a single eye to Christ, that we finally made it to the ocean of God, and now we have been sent there to the celestial realms ahead of time. We have pioneered a course behind our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for them. And as the nations stream into Jerusalem, so will the dead, the small and the great of all time, stream to the great white throne, where we will be there for them, to give them food, to give them grace, to show them the love of God, to bless them, to escort them onto the new earth. Enter into the joy of God.